Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a November 9, 2009 segment from the Kentucky Water Fuel Museum. With us today is the CEO of Genesis LLC, namely Ronnie Bargatta. And Mr. Bargatta, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, you've got a very exciting product that you have developed and that is described on your website, which perhaps we can begin with by mentioning. The name of your company is Genesis LLC, correct?
That's correct.
And that's spelled G-E-N-E-S-Y-S.
That's right.
And so the web page that you would direct people to would be what?
That would be www.genesis, and then there's a hyphen, hydrogen.com.
Genesis spelled G-E-N-E-S-Y-S dash hydrogen.com.
Right. That would actually be a hyphen there.
A hyphen. Okay, very good. Yes. Okay, very good. And so tell us about yourself. When did you first get interested in the technology of turning water into hydrogen fuel?
Well, that goes back several years. My original job that I had was I was the first program manager for the thermochemical processing of biomass at Exxon. And I had the opportunity of reviewing all different technologies from ethanol production, from cellulosics to gasification of biomass and so forth. And I always felt that all of these interesting technologies would not be viable as competition for fossil fuels. We're faced with two issues today. One is global warming due to carbon dioxide generation from fossil fuels, as well as peak oil. And so after I left Exxon, I started thinking about this problem in greater detail. And about 5 years ago, I came up with an idea that I thought would be viable and started working on it.
Okay, now 5 years ago, that would be 2004.
Right. Actually, it was a little bit earlier than that. It was around 2003, but I kind of date things at the time that I go into the lab and start building things.
Okay. And was there any particular motivating factor that affected your decision to go into this at that time with the cost of fuel or anything? Or?
Yes. As you know, fossil fuel prices have been rising, and I felt that one needed a resource that would be renewable as well as endless. And hydrogen from water actually has the highest concentration of a non-carbon substance. So that's all present around us. And I felt that the technologies today, such as electrolysis, were too energy intensive and really depended on electricity generation from a fossil fuel plant. So I wanted to develop a technology to crack water, which did not involve carbon and could generate its own electricity. And so, hence, I came up with radiant energy transfer, or better known as RET.
Okay, now, is radiant energy transfer, is that your own phrase, or is that something that exists in the scientific world?
Well, that terminology is used for many different types of things, so I've kind of, but it's the closest that represents the overall technology that I'm using.
Okay, and so define what it means. What does radiant energy mean, and what does radiant energy transfer mean?
Well, in context with this technology, radiant energy transfer is basically the transfer of electromagnetic energy toward breaking of a bond of in a molecule, such as the OH bond in water.
Okay.
And so I devised a technology which basically creates the resonant frequency of that OH bond. And so if you achieve that, then you're able to break the bond at the minimum amount of energy for that bond.
Now, I notice in one of your patents, and how many patents do you have, actually?
Well, I haven't counted them recently, but it's over a dozen.
Okay. And people can find those online nowadays pretty easily?
That's correct.
But in one of your patents, you actually make reference to several of the inventors that I have actually included in my book on the history of turning water into fuel, such as Stephen Horvath, an Australian.
Yes.
And I think Andrija Purarich as well. Is that right?
Well, yeah. So when you file for a patent, you really have to give what's the prior art and what's the technology out there, as well as how do I discriminate or differentiate my technology from that of the prior art. So we had to do a thorough investigation of all the background prior art in water cracking to satisfy the patent office.
Okay. Now, I noticed Stanley Meyer was not one of those references.
Right. Well, basically, Stanley Meyer had a technology. Again, there's a little bit of murkiness about it, the validation of it, but essentially it was a kind of electrolysis. We didn't want to really dwell on that because this technology is so different from electrolysis. So we just really wanted to give some basic patents that were representative of electrolyzers and electrolysis processes.
So in other words, Stanley Meyer's technology and many others involved the directing of electrical energy into the water, and yours has more to do with the EMF that's directed to the water as opposed to the actual electrical?
We don't actually use liquid water. We use water vapor.
Okay.
And the reason for that is it's much easier to deal with, and water vapor from any source of water is the same. So we found a universal feedstock to crack to produce hydrogen. If you do liquid water, there's some thermodynamic considerations that make it very difficult with this technology to use. And if you use water vapor, you could take that water vapor source from seawater or wastewater, which is what we've already proven. And so we think it's much more flexible and more universally usable.
Now, when you say water vapor, do you mean a spray of those types of water, or are you talking about a steam coming from a boiling pot of that water, or what?
Well, there's different ways to do that. When we generate our own electricity, we inject any type of water, seawater or wastewater, down, let's say, an abandoned oil well or geothermal well. That comes up as steam. The steam goes through a steam turbine to generate the electricity. And then at the waste steam that's coming out the exhaust of the steam turbine, which is essentially at room temperature, is the water vapor that we crack to make hydrogen oxygen.
Okay, so it does have to be in a vapor, meaning a type of steam state.
Yes, but you have to understand that just in a normal day, the humidity in the air has enough water vapor that we could crack that hydrogen oxygen. So literally,
really?
Out of thin air, we can make hydrogen.
That's amazing. Yeah, even in dry air, there's still humidity, isn't there?
That's correct. And in fact, at room temperature, I don't want to be quoted on this, I don't know the exact number, but it's about 20 millimeters of mercury, water vapor, just by having, if you had a pond and you wanted to measure the humidity above that pond, and that's sufficient for us to produce large amounts of hydrogen.
That's amazing. So you're basically passing vapor through a small tube-type apparatus?
Well, I don't want to get into the geometry itself, but yes, it is the reactor in which we have focused electromagnetic radiation from these different frequency sources. And then we actually separate the hydrogen oxygen in situ to two separate streams.
Very interesting. So you're taking atmospheric water vapor, or at least you can
yes.
use atmospheric water vapor,
yes, you
and
can.
Direct EMF fields at it.
Correct.
And achieve the breaking of the bond, the hydrogen bond, I guess, or the...
hydrogen-oxygen bond.
Yeah. Is that the covalent bond? Is that what they call it?
Well, there's some doubt whether it's covalent or partially ionic and so forth, but you're correct. It's the OH bond in the water.
And then you're separating the two gases. I think in your patent it mentions using known methods.
Yes.
For separating the gases, which
yes,
would be...
Yes, so we've been successful in that. If you look at our website, we're up to about 97 to 99% purity at this point.
Okay.
We hope to get 100% purity in the next few months.
But that isn't really essential, is it?
No, it's not, but for certain applications, if we want to sell our hydrogen to semiconductor houses, they demand a certain level of purity as a product. And so that's what we're aiming for.
But for typical energy usage, it's insignificant, right?
That's correct. You could probably use this in a fuel cell right now.
Yeah, and then as far as the use of the oxygen, if you had a market for that, that too would be pure enough probably, huh?
Yes. Well, we'd have to purify it a little bit. There's still trace amounts of water vapor and small amounts of hydrogen that we need to clean up. But there's standard processes that can do that.
Okay. And so what about the efficiency of this process? I mean, are you using any kind of terminology that says that this is an over-unity type system?
Well, we follow the laws of physics. So the theoretical efficiency is about 95%. Right now in the lab, we're getting about 75% efficiency. But when we finish our development and we have our commercial prototype, our goal is between 80 and 85%.
Okay. So typically, the EMF fields that have been proposed, including in the patents that you've cited, the energy required to generate those fields is very small.
That's correct, because we are cracking the water at its lowest energy point.
So therefore, is this, I mean, the holy grail of excess energy that could be used for powering our world without having to in fact, you even said from the get-go that you were wanting to get away from the use of fossil fuels.
That's right. Because of the two issues facing us today, I don't know if it's the holy grail, but it definitely has a viable commercial opportunity. It does not have the disadvantages of biofuels, in which you have to grow plant material, take up large surfaces of the planet to do that. And now there's some negative response to all those things that does really do affect our environment. So since the fact that we can generate our own electricity in situ, and we can actually even use abandoned oil wells to produce the hydrogen, I think it has probably the most potential of other hydrogen technologies out there at this point in time.
Interesting. Now, do you envision a device using this technology to be installed in businesses and homes for the purpose of heating or something like that?
Well, that's difficult to say at this point. It is possible to do that. It really depends on the business opportunity and where the need is. The way we're approaching it, there's a city actually in the Southwest, I don't want to name it at this point until we have all the approvals in, but they would like us to build a pilot plant producing hydrogen from their wastewater effluent from the town, and they would like to use that hydrogen for heating and for filling up of their cars. So there's one example of a potential application there. There's lots of others.
So what a great idea.
Well, I believe so.
Well, sure. I mean, especially since cities are facing such a financial crisis right now with lower revenues from the decreased business activity and property taxes and so on going down.
Yeah, who would ever believe that a waste treatment plant would be a profit center for a town?
Well, and the fact is that this isn't the first technology to hold promise of doing that, and yet these things have largely been ignored and are relatively unknown. I mean, how many cities are aware of your product, you know?
None at the moment. There's a big city here in California that we may have initial discussions with on their waste treatment plant. But I think once we break the ice, wherever that pilot plant is, I think it will be easier for us to have other cities adopt.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, being able to point to an existing system that's being used effectively.
Right, exactly.
So what's the initial application that you hope to see of the product?
Well, from a business point of view, because the higher value of pure hydrogen for semiconductor and electronics, or even making solar cells, looks like our first market that we would attack. But as I said to you before, because of the broad usage of this technology and applications, that may be thrown out the window, and there may be another application that we may go into. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
Now, is it possible for someone to purchase one of these devices, the basic water-splitting device?
No, unfortunately, our business model is we're going to be selling the hydrogen to the public, and so we won't be selling the equipment itself.
Okay. So I guess the next concern would be someone duplicating the technology and then selling the devices.
That's true. That's always a consideration. Security is very important.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fact that you've mentioned in your patent the references to people who decades ago really have claimed, at least if not actually produced, devices that crack water using, I guess we'd call it radio frequency radiation or EMF. It is a technology that's been around, and the public has been somewhat sequestered from this information. It hasn't been freely distributed around the world for people to contemplate.
And, well, there's also a cultural barrier. When I discuss my technology with various groups and stuff, they come away kind of in a dizzy spell because it is something different. It's not something that people think about every day. And electromagnetic radiation or RF has been used in the past to crack water unsuccessfully because of the recombination of hydrogen and oxygen. And that's because of the thermodynamic favorability of the recombination as opposed to cracking. So that's the problem that I solved using this resonant energy frequency.
In other words, you're saying that once cracked, the hydrogen and oxygen want to recombine on their own?
Yes, and people who've used this RF technology, even today, get yields on the order of less than 1%. So it's not very economic, and it's more of an artifact than anything else. And that's because the recombination rate of hydrogen oxygen is so rapid relative to the cracking reaction.
But this isn't normally a problem, like, for instance, with electrolysis. When you separate hydrogen and oxygen using electrolysis, those gases will not recombine unless you pass a spark through them to explode them, really.
Well,
that's the only way that recombination takes place, right?
Yeah, that's correct. But that's because you have an anode and a cathode in which these ions migrate. So they're actually naturally separated by the potential difference between the electrodes. But if I had a free radical of just hydrogen atom and an oxygen atom, they would seek each other without any field to recombine back to water. Yes.
So you're talking about a totally different product of water than electrolysis.
This is a totally different technology. That's correct.
So
completely different principles. Involved.
Yeah, the molecular product of this process, or the atomic process, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
The products are different than the products of electrolysis.
Well, no, we still produce hydrogen and oxygen, but the process itself is different, and the physics is completely different.
Yeah, and the resulting gas must be different up to a point, or it wouldn't recombine, right?
No, I prevent the recombination of hydrogen and oxygen, so it'll only recombine with itself. So if I have a mass of hydrogen atoms and oxygen atoms, I can literally separate that out in space, and then the hydrogen will recombine with itself to form hydrogen molecules, and the oxygen will recombine to form oxygen molecules. This has never been done before, so it's really a revolutionary technology. And there's nothing in the literature that has shown anything like this.
Isn't that amazing? So you're really underplaying just how significant it is on your website, because I don't think it's I mean, are you afraid of skeptics attacking a claim of what you just said, or?
No, absolutely not. In fact, we've had a major utility company, a manager in hydrogen, come down for a demo. We had a mayor of a city, and we had the former Environmental Protection Agency director see it. So we have nothing to hide in that area. We've actually demonstrated this live, but it's just my personality to be low-key.
Yeah, well, that's commendable. But it is true that academia tends to immediately dismiss any claim such as this, saying that, I mean, the typical mantra that is chanted, if you want to say,
yeah,
is that water is an energy carrier and that no, you know, beneficial result can come from any attempt to crack it.
Well, you know, when they say that it's an energy, I think you mean hydrogen's an energy carrier.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's kind of a fallacious semantic argument. Since oil is an energy carrier also, you cannot use raw oil out of the ground in your car. It has to be processed in a form so that the internal combustion engine can use it. So one could simply claim that oil is an energy carrier also. You need energy to produce energy, regardless of whether it's from a fossil fuel or from water. That's not the issue. The issue is how efficiently can you do that, and what is the primary resource? Is it cheap enough and plentiful enough? So that's not a factor. And so the rent really runs on just heat, low-grade heat, and any form of water. And I believe that that resource is far more universal than oil is. And so ultimately, this will be much cheaper than fossil fuel.
Oh, yeah, and much more environmentally friendly.
Yeah, because the way that we use energy, you know, for running our homes or our businesses and things of that nature, has an economic value. And if you produce energy that is too expensive, because that is the lowest common denominator of our civilization, then it's not very viable. You might as well just go back to using animals or people. So in order to keep those costs down, your primary energy, or the energy that you make your energy from, should be cheap and plentiful. And I think we've hit that with RET, because we've demonstrated to people on the outside and ourselves and our little mini pilot plant that we've made hydrogen from seawater, wastewater, even bottled water and seltzer water. And we get the same results regardless.
Yeah, because you're leaving whatever impurities that were in the water, be it seawater or polluted water or whatever, you're leaving those properties behind when you turn it into a vapor.
That's correct. And by the way, that brine has value. There's magnesium, chlorine, sodium in that. And that could actually be sold as a byproduct.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I wonder, does this have any application in water treatment?
Well, actually, that's what we've demonstrated. We actually took wastewater effluent that was going to be dumped into a river or a lake, and we produced pure hydrogen with that from a real municipal treatment plant. So what I'm saying is that that's a tremendous resource. For example, our company's here in the Bay Area, and they spew out about 500 million gallons a day of wastewater into the San Francisco Bay. Now, if we converted that to hydrogen, we would be able to basically power everything west of the Mississippi River on just that resource alone.
Wow. Because of the ratio of hydrogen to water, huh?
Yeah, well, hydrogen makes up 11% by weight of a water molecule. So if you do the math, then if you just take a typical SUV pumping up a tank full per week, you come out to an extraordinary amount of cars that could be running on this.
Amazing. So if somebody was interested in investing in your company, is that possible?
Yes, it is. These, of course, are private placements.
So you are on the or you're not on the stock exchange? Or?
No, we're not. We're gonna try to remain private at this point.
Okay, but you're welcoming inquiries into investing in the company.
Yes, yeah, I can't solicit over a radio program, but if you send an inquiry at our website, we'll be happy to respond to you.
Okay. And are you looking for people involved in developing the technology? Are you hiring? Or?
Oh, we will be hiring in the future. As soon as our development is completed, we're going to be building a commercial prototype in the field. And so we will be hiring engineers and all sorts of people, technicians, assemblers, and everything that requires support for a company.
Well, that's great. And so what are your long-term goals? I mean, have we arrived at a point of projecting that there will be a placement of this technology throughout the world at a given time? Or
yes, we intend to be an international global company, and I don't know if it's arrogance or anything like that, but our mission is to be the largest hydrogen producer in the world and to supplant fossil fuels at some point in time.
Wow. Well, I congratulate you on your goals and the amazing work that you've already done. I would love to see a demonstration of some kind of, even if it's something like a cartoon, that shows how this takes place. What are the forces and how they affect the water.
It's interesting you should mention that. We just had a major historic breakthrough. You probably see it on our front page of our website. We filled and floated a hydrogen balloon. So we had enough purity of the hydrogen that we could demonstrate that we're floating a balloon. So what we plan on doing in the first quarter of 2010, hopefully in January, we're going to have our first major press release. And before then, we're going to be videotaping a small video showing our system and explaining the red in a little bit more detail for the general audience out there, and that will be put on our website and possibly also on YouTube.
Wow. Yeah, I have seen the video of the balloon. It was almost reminiscent of that balloon scare in Colorado. It was the aluminum, the shiny aluminum-looking balloon. It made me think of that.
Well, we promise not to have that kind of publicity.
But that was a little bit of a comical note on that. But yeah, that's great. And I'd love to talk to you again on the air and see how things are going.
Sure, wonderful. And we welcome you to come for a private demo when you're in the Bay Area. Just give us some advance notice, and we'll run the machine for you and demonstrate that.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. And so as far as people contacting you, they can go to your website and see a contact information there.
Yes, and I also have a private email address, and I think I could give that. It's rbg@att.net.
Okay, RBG is in your initials, Ronnie Bargatta?
Yes.
At att.net?
That's correct.
Okay, very good. Well, Ronnie, I thank you so much for this interview. I look forward to hearing more good things coming from your company.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
All right, take care. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.